This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media Medical News Network. We're about to speak to Bernard Siegel, who's the Executive Director of the Genetics Policy Institute. Welcome to Utopia Media Medical News Network.
Thank you very much.
Why don't we start by you telling us a little bit about what the Genetics Policy Institute is?
Well, Genetics Policy Institute is a nonprofit organization that leads the cause of stem cell research. Unfortunately, we live in a day and age where there's a need to support the cause, and we're backed by some of the leading stem cell scientists of the world who are on our science advisory board, like Rudolf Janisch at MIT, Doug Melton at Harvard, folks like that, Ian Wilmot. So what we do is we stage critical conferences, publish and speak in support of this research.
Okay, we're specifically going to talk about the Stem Cell Policy and Advocacy Summit, Sustaining the Mandate for Cures, on June 11th and 12th, 2005, at Baylor College of Medicine at the Texas Medical Center in Houston, Texas. Tell us about who's going to be there and what the importance of this event is.
Well, this is going to be a gathering of really the leaders of the stem cell advocacy community, all the stakeholders. We're going to bring in some of the leading researchers, such as Dr. Woo-Suk Wong from Korea, Dr. Jerry Schotten from the University of Pittsburgh, Lawrence Goldstein from the University of California in San Diego, and also bring in people like Daniel Perry from the Coalition for Advancement of Medical Research and other patient advocacy groups, meeting with stem cell activists, business leaders. We're going to try to map out strategies to sustain this research, what I call sustaining the mandate for cures in the post-Proposition 71 world. How can we move this ahead while we are trying to ease the restrictions that exist currently on the funding of embryonic stem cells and avoid some of the draconian legislation that would possibly criminalize some of this research?
Okay, we're going to talk about that in a minute. Why don't you talk about Hwang Woo-Suk's breakthrough announcement yesterday and what the importance of that is in the scheme of embryonic stem cell research?
Well, yes, what the Koreans are doing is absolutely phenomenal. I had the good experience of last September going to Seoul, South Korea, and seeing their stem cell labs there, and they really have a 24/7 operation. The entire country is moving forward. They have multiple stem cell labs there, and they're moving ahead in adult and embryonic stem cell research. And this is, of course, what Dr. Wong has done is extremely significant. He has essentially has boosted the efficacy of this research 10 times. And for the first time, they've been able to create stem cell lines from folks that actually have diseases and medical conditions like spinal cord injury, autoimmune disease, and diabetes.
What can you say about where things stand with the treatment of those 11 patients? What remains to be done scientifically, biomedically, with the products that they've produced so far before therapies can start being tested on those patients?
Well, even though Dr. Schotten, who collaborated with this research, has said this has moved this decades closer, which it has, there's still a tremendous amount of work to be done. And having created these patient-matched stem cell lines, they still have to learn how to differentiate the cells to individual tissues types in the human body. This is like the ground floor of building a skyscraper, but it was absolutely essential. It's really taken what was a theoretical exercise and now moved it way ahead and shown the efficacy of this work. So it's our starting point to regenerative medicine bearing fruit.
Okay, before we start talking about the political aspects of this, talk about the competitive commercial aspects about this. To what extent are the scientists collaborating globally? I read an article about an article today that Ian Wilmot, who cloned Dolly, and Professor and Dr. Hwang are going to collaborate. Gerald Schotten is in all of these stories. Is there any tension, as you see it, between the global universalistic nature of scientific collaboration and the efforts of Korea versus Harvard versus Columbia versus California to establish their leadership here and get the patents and make the billions of dollars?
Well, that's a loaded question. You know, this is at the beginning stage, so at the fundamental research level, and
right.
at the academic level, there's a tremendous amount of collaboration going on.
Right.
And especially since we're faced with certain restrictions in the United States, some of our very best researchers are looking to collaborate overseas where we can move this forward faster. Because it's at such an early stage, the companies that are starting to do work in this are early startup companies. And, you know, this type of work, that accomplishment to show the efficacy has improved so much, is probably going to be drawing more venture capital into the field.
Okay, well, why is it that nothing that the Koreans did is illegal in the U.S., is it? Or is it illegal in California? And what's the trade-off between legality and funding? I'm sorry?
It depends that while there's no federal law
right.
against what they've done,
right.
this is we're going through brutal state by state fights here.
Right.
For example, in Michigan, if a scientist did what they did, they would be subject to going to jail. It would be a criminal act in there, and I think in South Dakota and several other states. Yet in California and New Jersey, where they've sought to regulate and fund this research, it's a different story.
So right now,
it sort of depends where you are in the United States.
Okay, are you and others going to Washington to get a unified national federal policy on this?
Well, this is one of the goals of staging a summit conference and bringing in for the first time people from around the country who have a stake in this to start formulating strategies. You know, the foes of this research, the people from the social conservative movement, have funded over $300 million on bioethic think tanks opposed to this research. What are we going to do to defend the research?
Okay. Well, talk about that then, about what's going on in Washington. The legislative options range from Senator Brownback's bill that would criminalize, make illegal, at least, both therapeutic and reproductive cloning, and then
not only that, but I think we understand. Not only would it criminalize and throw researchers in jail for 10 years, patients who would get this research or go overseas and get it and come back would be subject to the same penalty. It's really serious legislation. It's almost a slap in the face to the patient community. So you have this cloud over one source of embryonic stem cells from nuclear transfer, or what they call therapeutic cloning. That's the work that Dr. Wong did in Korea. All right, so you have that. And on the other hand, we have the funding issue as to whether we're going to lift the restrictions and fund more stem cell lines, embryonic stem cell lines, that have come from surplus IVF embryos, the other source of embryonic stem cells.
Right.
Now we have the pending Tassel to Get bill, which might be voted on as early as next week sometime. And today I learned that President Bush is saying that he would veto that bill, despite that we know that the 60 lines turned out to be more like 20 lines, and they're polluted with mouse feeder cells, and they can't be used for clinical work.
Let me ask you about this combination of issues. Is what the Koreans just did by creating personalized stem cell lines based on the adult somatic cells of patients, does that mean that the work that is plan to be done with surplus embryos is already jumped over and rendered irrelevant
by
that research?
Not at all. We don't know what the exact sources are going to be for medical breakthroughs. And while ultimately these lines might be the best type to move the research forward, in that it might be an unlimited amount of quantity, and it also might be genetically matched to the donor, which is very significant. We need to move this forward on all different levels.
Okay, go ahead.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now, the President's Council on Bioethics issued a white paper this month about alternative means of creating pluripotent cells, stem cells, without harming or destroying embryos. Have you read that white paper?
Yes, I have.
And do you have any comment on those four methods that they talk about, and even something more generally about the excruciating complications that are involved in the scientific funding and ethical issues as they discuss them in that paper?
Well, you know, these were very novel ideas, untested completely. And I guess the answer to the question is, If these are theories. Go find yourself a scientist. Go get yourself funding, and let's see if any of them will work. The problem with these suggestions, such as alternate nuclear transfer ant, that conservative member of the President's Council on Bioethics, Bill Hurlbut, came up with this idea. You're creating an effect, defective thing that cannot turn into a human being. But even social conservatives are troubled by this idea. The thing is that by politicizing this, and that's what the trouble with the President's Council studying these issues, they're trying to make these sound like a false alternative, an alternative to embryonic stem cell research, which these are not. These are theories. Now, I'm not going to stand in the way of this going forward, but if funding was diverted to these theories that are just being created, not for their efficacy, but just for political reasons, I do have a problem with funding going for that. If they can get the funding, fine. But, it shouldn't deter us from what they're doing that is so promising, which is embryonic stem cell research with the promise of taking cells and turning to any type of tissue in the human body.
Okay,
that's
the
promise.
Okay, we've got limited time here, but I hope we can talk maybe at greater length sometime before the conference, and certainly after it, to get some reports from you and others about what happened. Why don't you wrap up now by telling us again about the Stem Cell Policy and Advocacy Summit, Sustaining the Mandate for Cures, when, where, how people who want to attend can get in touch with you, and what the importance of this meeting is in the context of stem cell research going forward.
Well, the summit is an historic meeting. It's the first gathering of all the stakeholders and leadership, meeting with scientists, biotech people, people from the patient community, stem cell activists, academics, to discuss policy and advocacy and the cause of stem cell research in the post Proposition 71 world. It's going to be June 11th and 12th. To find out information, you should go to the Genetics Policy Institute website, which is www.genpol.org, spelled GENPOL.ORG.
All right, great. Thank you very much for talking to us, and hopefully we can talk again before, after, and maybe even during this conference, and get more public awareness of what's going on.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye.